ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're all set and ready, then you know what, so am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, the Mighty Challenge. 25 questions in 5 categories. If you can answer question 25, then you are the winner, and you will receive an edition of the very rare, but you know what? Someone has to win it. Mighty Challenge fridge magnet tonight. Okay, who's it going to be? It may be as well be you, right? Categories tonight. Category number one, happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Category number two, Sam Neill. Category number three, anatomy. Category number four, climbing. Category number five, ball sports. All right. Happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Sam Neill, anatomy, climbing, ball sports. Who's going to kick us off tonight? Sophie from Glen Iris. Hello, Sophie.
Hello, Philip.
What do you reckon here? Happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Sam Neill, anatomy, ball sports, climbing.
Well, I'm a bit sad about Sam Neill, so I think I'll
know.
Pick that category, please.
What's your favourite Sam Neill piece, you reckon?
Oh, look, it's a bit of a toss-up, but Death in Brunswick and The Dish and My Brilliant Camellia.
Yeah.
Something all of those.
I loved him in that early TV spy show, Riley, Ace of Spies. I think that was surprising.
Oh, yes.
He was great in that. All right, Sam Neill it is. Question number one. In 1979, Sam Neill played the romantic lead opposite Judy Davis in which movie?
That was My Brilliant Career.
It was My Brilliant Career, yeah.
Don't you ever dream there's more to life than this?
It's bad enough being born a girl, but being born ugly and clever.
You have a wildness of spirit which is going to get you into trouble all your life.
I thought we should get married.
Well, what a handsome proposal. How could anyone say no?
Loneliness is a terrible price to pay for independence. So Ella, don't throw away reality for some impossible dream.
It's not impossible. It's not. Give me a chance to find out what's wrong with the world and with me. Who I am. Everything.
The wonderful My Brilliant Career. Yeah, what a piece, hey? Sophie, question yes. Number two, staying with Sam Neill?
Yes, please.
What was the name of Sam Neill's character in Jurassic Park?
Dr. Grant?
Yeah, correct. I'll give it to you, yes. Dr. Alan Grant.
Since the beginning of time, man has searched the earth for evidence of its past. But while some have looked for clues to the mystery, one man has found the way to bring the mystery back to life.
I own an island off the coast of Costa Rica, and I spent the last 5 years setting up a kind of biological preserve
here. On this private island, science has defied evolution and extinction. Is a thing of the past.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
what a great series of movies it was. But the first one was really great, wasn't it? So,
yeah, that's
trying to remember with the second one. Maybe I never saw them. There were two others, weren't there? Yeah.
Oh, there's been a bunch, and recently too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Jurassic World Dominion and all.
That was the third one, wasn't it? There was Jurassic Park 1 and 2 and then World Dominion. Yeah.
Might even be more than that.
There were more than that. You know, the first one was great. Chasing the raptor around the science lab.
From the bit of amber, the mosquito in the bit of amber.
I know.
All created from that.
It was so powerful that I once did a story about that on air as to whether or not that was actually theoretically possible or not.
Oh, and what did you find out?
Probably not. No, probably not possible. It's an intriguing idea, though, isn't it? Question number three. We're in Sam Neill.
Yes, please.
Remembering the life and times and achievements of Sam Neill. In 2016, Sam Neill played grumpy Uncle Hector in which Taika Waititi film?
The Hunt for the Wilder People.
Correct. Yes. The Hunt for the Wilder People, which may not have been seen by everybody, but it was a terrific show, wasn't it? Terrific film.
It was pretty delightful.
Yeah, yeah. Question.
Good, grumpy as well as charming.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Neil from Essendon says, Terry, sorry, I forgot read the Death in Brunswick Pizza. Oh, yeah. Wasn't that the one with the extra cockroaches, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. I think so. But John Clarke was marvellous in that film as well. So.
True, yeah. Yeah. Question number four, Sam Neill. Which religious statesman did Sam Neill play in the TV series The Tudors?
Oh, golly. I don't know this, but I'm thinking I might be able to work it out. Religious statesman in The Tudors. It would be Cardinal someone or other. Cardinal, no, I'm not
going to
get it. Sorry, Phil.
Thanks, Soph. Nice work. Bye. Nice work, though. See ya. Nice work to get us off the mark. Justin in Frankston. Hello, Justin.
G'day, Phil. How are you, man?
Pretty good.
I am just shocked. I honestly can't believe that Sam Neill's gone. I mean, you know, I used to watch him every time.
Yeah, no, it's very sad. I mean, all round good bloke by all accounts. I never interviewed him or never met Sam Neill, but.
I was in New Zealand for 13 years. Okay. And everyone was talking about him, how he done Jurassic Park and that. But it's just a shock. You know, when I heard it, I literally put my hand over my mouth and. Can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people, I think, had a similar reaction. All right, question number four, Sam Neill. Which religious statesman did Sam Neill play in the TV series The Tudors?
Ooh. I never watched that show, sorry, Phil, so I wouldn't know.
No worries. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Phil.
Appreciate your time. Thank you. Andrew from Bendigo. G'day, Andrew.
Good evening. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Which religious statesman did Sam Neill play in the TV series The Tudors?
Tom Wolseley.
I'm just going to move on with that one. Trevor from Croydon Park. Hello, Trevor.
Hello, Phil. The thing about celebrity passings, some of them, you know, you look back at it, yes, the signs were there, and but still, it just comes very suddenly and unexpectedly.
Mm. Yeah.
No, not only, there was another one in the same time frame, totally unrelated, but the same thing, the American senator.
Lindsey Graham. I'm going to talk
to... signing treaties and things. And,
Yeah, I'll talk to Ray Bonner about Lindsey Graham in the last hour of the program, actually.
Swans News, look out for the next door neighbours. they ended Frio's run and took revenge for us, sort of, on Geelong.
Yes, well, that's true. I mean, people have been writing the Giants off, haven't they? But, I mean, maybe not. Tell me, which religious statesman did Sam Neill play in the TV series The Tudors?
I'm tossing up between two Thomases, and I go Cromwell, Thomas Cromwell.
Not Thomas Cromwell, no.
Sorry,
Trev, bye-bye. No, I guess our Swannies will be right against Adelaide this Friday, but anyway, we'll see, I guess. Robert from Cowra. G'day, Robert.
Good evening. Hello.
Oh, hello. Question number four. We're in Sam Neill. Which religious statesman did Sam Neill play in the TV series The Tudors?
I was hoping I wouldn't get to try and answer this one. So a complete guess. Let's go an Archbishop of Canterbury.
Not the Archbishop of Canterbury. No, sorry. What? Not the Archbishop of Canterbury. Elaine from Croydon South says, what about Sam Neill's entertaining the kids during COVID? reading stories like Harry McLaren to them. Loads of fun. Yeah, he was a prolific user of social media, Sam Neill, particularly on Instagram, and he just produced so much content, particularly during COVID. Cooking, remember these cooking lessons? Oh, dear. Where are we? Rodney from Warburton in Victoria. Hi, Rodney.
Oh, good morning. How are you, Phil?
Morning. Yes, no, I'm very well. Question number four we're up to. Sam Neill. Which religious statesman did Sam Neill play in the TV series The Tudors?
Yeah, they talked about his roles and who he played and everything on the evening show, actually, the ABC evening show.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
They had a special on him, so...
Oh, you've had the inside running then, yeah.
Well, no, I listened to it. I was actually fascinated. I didn't realise that he'd done so much.
Yes, he had, yeah.
I think it was Cardinal Thomas Wolsey.
Cardinal Thomas Wolsey, yes, Wolsey.
And apparently he also played John Paul II in something as well.
Yeah, he has played Pope John Paul too, yeah. I know, he's played all sorts of things. he played the spooky roles in The Omen, in the Omen too, didn't he?
Yeah, The Omen 2 or 3 or something, yeah.
There's one left in Sam Neill, otherwise you could move to Anatomy, Happy Birthday Harrison Ford, Climbing or Ball Sports.
Oh, well... Ball Sports. Let's go Ball Sporty.
Ball Sports it is. Question number five. Which NRL team won 11 premierships in a row?
St. George.
From 1956 to 1966.
Yeah, that was St. George. Yes. That's a record that's not going to be broken in a long time, I think.
It's a record that's never going to be broken I don't imagine, in these days of salary caps and so on, is it?
I would expect not, no.
Gee, it must have been a tedious period. I mean, okay, if you're a St. George fan. Yeah, 11 premierships in a row. Well, they changed the rules after that too. And so, you know. Question number six, Ball Sports. Staying here?
Yes, thank you.
In the English Premier League, Craven Cottage is the home ground of which club?
In the EPL.
In the English Premier League, Craven Cottage is the home ground of which club?
It's London. I know that. But who? You know what? I know it's London. I'm trying to think of a London team. I've been past it. I haven't been there, but I've been past it. I'm going to have to drop this, I'm afraid, Phil.
No worries, Rodney. No worries, Rodney. Thank you anyway.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye-bye. No worries. Thanks for having a crack at it. That's the main thing. Janet, Jen from Mackenzie. Hello, Jen.
Oh, good evening.
Question number six, Ball Sports. In the English Premier League, Craven Cottage is the home ground of which club?
No idea. Nottingham?
No, not Nottingham. Sorry, not Nottingham. Mark's in Darwin up the top. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. It's not bad. Not bad. Question number six, Ball Sports. In the English Premier League, Craven Cottage is the home ground of which club?
Is it Essendon?
No, it's not. Not Essendon. Thank you. Heather from Nil. Hello.
Hello,
Heather.
Oh, well, of all the unlucky questions, I'd have to get a sports one. I might have to go back to making some more marmalade, I think.
How far are you through it, Heather?
Oh, I think I'm about halfway. I've run out of whiskey. I've run out of brandy.
Hang on, Heather. Have you been behaving yourself in the kitchen or not?
Definitely not. tonight was orange and Contro marmalade.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Mm,
that'd be really good.
Yeah, it's not bad. But, yeah, I
hope you were a heavy hand on the Contro, were you?
Well, it's hard not to be.
One for the marmalade, one for me. One for the marmalade, one for me.
Yeah, that one. That one always works well. I'll have a stab at Chelsea.
Not Chelsea.
No.
Thanks, Ella.
I'll go back to the marmalade.
See ya. Bye. Sticky times. Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Yes, good. Norm from Kamira in Queensland has got the right answer. Someone sent me a text to say, my name's Troy and my dad's the best fisherman in Perth. Okay. Take it from there. Terry from Carpentine in Victoria. Hello, Kerry. Terry, sorry.
Hello, Phil.
Question number six, ball sports. In the English Premier League, Craven Cottage is the home ground of which club?
Well, that's right out of my league, but I'm going to just guess Tottenham.
Not Tottenham, no. Thank you. No, not Tottenham. I mean, they're all fair enough guesses, I guess. Bobsled, yes, correct, bobsled. We just mentioned Tottenham, didn't we? I've only ever been to the Spurs' home ground of White Hart Lane. Yeah, Tottenham's home ground, true. Judy from Terang. Hello, Judy.
Hello, Phil. Carpentine is just down the road from me, but 10 minutes away.
Oh, okay. In the English Premier League, Craven Cottage is the home ground of which club?
Oh, it's not really left, either. Oh, no, Fulham.
Correct. Yes.
Right. Really?
Yes. Fulham is correct, yeah. Fulham is the team which has as its home ground Craven Cottage. Phil, yeah. Milo in the Blue Mountains says, Phil, it's the mighty Fulham Football Club, of course. Chelsea's neighbour. Yeah, well, they are Chelsea's neighbour. That's true. All righty, well, that means we're up to question number seven. We're in ball sports, but you may choose to leave there, Judy, if you wish. You can go climbing, happy birthday, Harrison Ford, Sam Neill, or anatomy.
Well, it depends, greatly on which obscure sport you're going to throw up. We've had NRL and Premier League. Surely this is an AFL.
Are you going to go ball sports?
Yep.
Ball sports it is. Question number seven. How many players are there in a field hockey team?
Jeez, I bet the next question is AFL. I can name all the premierships back to 1897. I can name all the AFL premierships, the BFL AFL premierships back to 1897. Are you there?
Yeah, I am.
I thought you'd be impressed.
Oh, well, no, I am impressed, Judy, but it's not getting anywhere, that's all.
I'm just saying I'm not completely useless in the ball sport area.
I'm not suggesting for a second you are.
Now, soccer, you're not talking rugby union, are you? Or?
No, we're not talking about rugby union.
I've been watching the soccer. My two sons are
Who's going to win the World Cup, Judy?
Oh, I don't know, but one son's been over there, watched the two Aussie games and the Trump game. The 4-1 to
the American,
Belgium.
Hmm.
He was actually at that game.
All right. This is not helping you, Judy. No.
I'm just trying to summon up something. Oh, come on, how many? On the field?
Jude, we're going to have to say goodbye because we have been here for a long time. Where are we? Michael from Chester Hill. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, Michael.
I'm just, playing a bit of you. Can you hear that?
I can, yes.
I wanted to say pretty good game. The Swans Fremantle.
Bit tough. That was a long time ago. I've erased it from my memory, Michael. Question number seven, ball sports. Yes. How many players are there in a field hockey team?
I don't very much watch ball sports other than obviously AFL. And while I do have, if you'll forgive me, I wanted to say it is a bit sad about Sam, but on the other hand, it's also, you know, it's there's a gentleness and a kindness that's going on there. He was a man for all seasons. He had so many different things going on, and I just want to say thank you. And also, I'm a bit of a science fiction fan, so I actually happen to like a movie he did, which is called Event Horizon. I know it got panned by the critics, but I still think it was an excellent performance. When we get back to...
How many players are there in a field hockey team, Michael?
I'm just going to... I think it's seven.
No, it's not seven. Thank you, mate. No, it's not seven. Trev from Surface Paradise. G'day, Trev.
Yeah, hello, Philip.
How many players are there in a field hockey team?
Well, I've never played the game, but when I've seen it, it looks a hell of a lot like soccer. So I'll go 11.
Correct, yes, it is. It does look a bit like soccer.
When I have a game in school and they go, "You're left half," and I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobsled says it's soccer with sticks, so 11. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All righty.
Weapons.
All right. Carol from Craigieburn. Hi, Carol. Shocked to hear about Sam. My favourite Sam movie is Rams with Michael Caton. Oh, yeah, okay. Meryl of Erskineville had 11 in a field hockey team. So did Grover from Ocean Grove. Good work. Hey, question number 8. We're in ball sports. We can stay there. Otherwise, we can move anywhere else.
Oh, let's go to anatomy.
Anatomy it is. No one's opened this up yet. So here we go. Question number 8. Which bones in the hand connect the fingers to the wrist?
Bones in the hand connect the fingers to the wrist. Something called finial or something like that. You know what, Philip? I don't know.
Thanks, Trev. See you, mate. Bye-bye. See you later. All right, Bo's on the road in the truck. G'day, Bo.
G'day, Phil. There you go.
Good. You got some juice on the back?
Always got juice on the back.
Yeah, very good. Good. Now, question number 8. We're in anatomy. Which bones in the hand connect the fingers to the wrist?
I'm going to have to just eliminate something for someone else because I only know one set of bones in the hand. Oh, I think they're bones. Is it the carpal bones?
Give me a bit more.
Oh, well, I know my wife had carpal tunnel syndrome and that had to do with that. No, I can only give you the carpal bones. That's all I know.
Yeah, I don't mind cutting you a bit of slack here, Bo, but it's not enough for me. No. Thanks,
no
mate.
No worries.
Thanks, mate.
I hope you help somebody.
See ya. Bye. It may help someone. Moose in East Gippsland says, Phil, you're letting people waffle a bit. Thank you, Moose. We're just having a chat, aren't we? Maria, yes, correct. And that's correct. Ross from Scoresby, sort of correct. Annette from Perth is correct. What about Kim, the voice of the Murrays, with us? G'day, Kim.
Good evening, Philip.
How are you?
And I promise not to waffle.
Kim, you're in no danger of that.
Right, thank you.
We're in anatomy. Which bones in the hand connect the fingers to the wrist?
Well, I thought I had a choice of two, phalanges or metatarsals. I'll try metatarsals. That's all I can think of.
They're not the metatarsals, Kim, no.
Well, are they the tarsals?
No.
Or the metas?
No.
I give up, Philip.
Kim, back to the dressing room.
I'll tell you.
We'll call you when needed. All right?
So, very good. Very good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No. Chris in Canberra. G'day, Chris.
Hello.
G'day. Anatomy. We're up to question number 8. Which bones in the hand connect the fingers to the wrist?
Metacarpals.
Correct. Not the metatarsals, the metacarpals. Not the carpal bones, and the metacarpals. Yes, the metacarpal bones connect the fingers to the wrist. Bobsled says, if it's not in Dem Bones song, I don't know what they are. No, well, that's a fair enough. That's a fair enough situation, I would have thought. All right, question number 9. Chris, what do you want to do here? We're in anatomy. You can stay there, or you can move to Sam Neill, happy birthday, Harrison Ford, climbing or ball sports?
Stay in anatomy, please.
Staying in anatomy, question number 9. In the human body, which system collects and drains excess fluid and waste products from tissues?
Excess fluid. Well, you got two. You got the. This isn't my answer. Lymphatic and kidney. So I'm going to say lymphatic.
Correct. Yes, the lymphatic or the lymphoid system is a system in the human body which collects and drains excess fluid and waste products from tissues. The lymphatic system. All right. Question number 10. We're in anatomy. Staying here, I guess, meaning bay or inlet in Latin, which cavities in the human skull take their name from a style of folds in a toga?
Oh, I don't know, but I suspect it's the brain.
No, not the brain. Sorry, Chris, no, not the brain. Thank you. The metatarsals join the toes. Exactly, that's right. The metacarpals join the fingers. Thank you, Milo. Paul from North Fitzroy has got the right answer here. Very good. 1-300-800-222. We have lines free if you want to grab one, right? 1-300-800-222. Help us out here. Help us out here, meaning bay or inlet in Latin. Which cavities in the human skull take their name from a style of folds in a toga? Anybody want to help me? 1-300-800-222. Robin from Geelong had the metacarpals. Lorella had the metacarpals. Very good. Morgan says, yes, Phil, Sam Neill in the piano, a very powerful performance. Sign of real talent, in my view, and the character is completely different to real life, the real life personality. Yeah, no, it's true. No, he's a marvellous actor, a very, very accomplished professional actor. 1-300-800-222, lines free, grab one. Come on, help me out here. We're in anatomy, meaning bay or inlet in Latin. Which cavities in the human skull take their name from a style of folds in a toga? 1-300-800-222. Principessa from Tenterfield. That is correct. Yes. Excellent work. Who else has got that? Oh, Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Good. Lynn the Queenslander. No, that's not correct. Joy from Logan. Hi, Joy.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. We're up to question 10 here. We're in anatomy, meaning bay or inlet in Latin. Which cavities in the human skull take their name from a style of folds in a toga?
Oh, golly. I can do one thing, and that's suture.
A what?
What was it? It's not right.
What, no, what is a joint?
Suture.
A suture. No, it's not a suture. I think a suture is a stitch, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It's also the joints that the skull, bits of the skull join together.
Oh, is that right?
You know, because when you're born, you've got lots of bones in your skull and they join together as an adult. They become where the sutures meet. Sorry, that was the only little dimples apart from eye holes.
Like that delightful, precious little top of a newborn baby's head.
Which hasn't
joined up. Yeah, I know.
All righty. I have to leave you then.
Thanks, Joy.
Okay.
It's been pleasant while it's been here, but that's it. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Dear. Hayley from Roselle in Sydney. Hi, Hayley. G'day, Hayley.
Oh, that was the quickest ever.
I know, it can be. Well, this is stumping people, meaning bay or inlet in Latin, which cavities in the human skull take their name from a style of folds in a toga.
Okay, so I studied fashion, so I should know this, and I didn't think I'd be getting on so quickly. And okay, I've got to just think. Style of folds in a toga. Skull. I don't know. Skull.
No. No. All right, Hayley. See ya. Gwen from Stanmore. Hi, Gwen.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, hello. What do we need here? Meaning bay or inlet in Latin, which cavities in the human skull take their name from a style of folds in a toga?
Well, as an old Latin teacher, Phil, it's sinus.
Correct. Okay. Oh, well, that's good. Well, I don't want to say you're a declining breed, Gwen, but it had a bit of a revival Latin for a while, didn't it? I don't know whether it still is.
Well, sadly, it's become the preserve of the elite schools.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing because we used to be taught in public schools, in government schools a lot, didn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah, that's a pity. That's a pity. It's a terrific thing to learn. And to understand the English language, it helps a lot, don't you think?
Certainly does.
Hmm. I can still remember Hestar.
Oh, yes. The spear.
Hastarum hastis hastis. There you go. Opadam, 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 opadi, opado, opado. No?
Well, that's only the singular, Phil.
Oh, no. Gwen, I can feel the pain from my knuckles already from being wrapped. Thank you. Question 11. We're in anatomy.
Yes, I'll stay there.
What's the more common name for the zygomatic arches in the skull? What's the more common name? For the zygomatic arches.
No, don't know, Phil.
No good?
No.
Thanks for being a Latin teacher, Gwen.
Okay.
See
you.
Bye. Monica from the Hunter Valley. Oh, hang on. Mon's going to be good on this.
Hopefully, Phil. I'm just a little bit worried because your zygomatic arches has got your eyeball sockets. And it's also got your eyebrows, so I'm not sure. What was the other answer? Because the sinus or fontanelle was.
Meaning bay or inlet in Latin, which cavities in the human skull take their name from a style of folds in a toga. Yes, well, yes. Gwen, the Latin teacher, said a bay or inlet is a sinus, so therefore it must be the sinuses.
I thought it could have been a fontanelle as well, so I was going to.
Sinuses. Okay, but after what's the more common name for the zygomatic arches in the skull?
Okay, I'm going to go the eyeball socket.
No, not the eyeball socket. No, I mean, I know. I mean, you're correct in what you say, but no, but that's not
that's
what.
That's not the answer you want. That's no. Okay.
Thanks, Monica. Okay. See ya. Bye bye. Robin, yes, correct. Joyce from Perth, correct. Annette from Perth, correct. Bobsled says, and people say ad nauseum that Latin is irrelevant. Boom, boom. Yes, exactly. They do. Mark from Port Pirie. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Phil. The World Cup, and I've got a feeling that France will go all the way.
What?
Yeah, I think they will.
All right. Now tell me, what's the more common name for the zygomatic arches in the skull?
I don't know.
Okay. No worries. Thank you anyway. Morris from Perth. Hello, Morris.
Hey, Phil. How you going?
Pretty good. What's the more common name for the zygomatic arches in the skull?
Is it the cheekbones?
Yes, it is. It's the cheekbones. Monica nearly had it. She was in the right area. It's the cheekbones, yeah. All righty, question number 12. Morris, we're in anatomy. Well, there is one left there, otherwise you could move to Sam Neill. Happy birthday, Harrison Ford, climbing or ball sports?
Let's stay here, please.
Last one in anatomy. Which muscle has a name meaning largest buttock in Latin?
Hotus Bodic. Is it the, I know that, is it the Gluteus Maximus?
Correct. Yes.
All right.
Yes. The Gluteus Maximus is a muscle, of course, in your backside. All righty. Question number 13. We've got Sam Neill. Happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Climbing or ball sports? Because there's no more anatomy.
Ball sports, please.
Ball sports. Okay, two left here. Question number 13. Consisting of two attempts to knock down all the pins, what name is given to a player's turn in 10-pin bowling?
A spare.
Not a spare, no. Sorry, Morris, no, not a spare. Karen from Altona. Hello, Karen.
Hi, I've known so many. Well, I get this one, I've got nothing but bowling. Give me the question again.
Consisting of two attempts to knock down all the pins, what name's given to a player's turn in 10-pin bowling?
I don't know. That was a good Wimbledon match, wasn't it? ladies was, anyway. I'll just say a jewel.
Not a jewel, no. Right. Thanks, Karen. Bye-bye. No, it's not. Harry in the Bay's got the right answer here. Annette had the Gluteus Maximus, so did Maria, and Lorella had the Gluteus Maximus. Susan from Gympie says, is that why we have a sinus rhythm? It's in waves. Oh, I see, from the Latin. Dino in Wagen. Yes, correct. All right, come on, I need an answer for this. I think the anatomy questions have put people off. 1-300-800-222 is the number. We're off to question 13. Consisting of two attempts to knock down all the pins, what name is given to a player's turn in 10-pin bowling? Do I have a contestant? 1-300-800-222. Give us a bell. Consisting of two attempts to knock down all the pins, what name is given to a player's turn in 10-pin bowling? It's already able to text me. That's true. I mean, we've got plenty of correct answers on the text. Harry in the Bay's got it, yes. But I need an answer on the phone line. 1-300-800-222. Come on, help me out. Consisting of two attempts to knock down all the pins, what name is given to a player's turn in 10-pin bowling? Steve from Forest Hill just back on. Yeah, no, that's a nice memory of Sam Neill too. Josh from the Sunshine Coast. G'day, Josh.
Good evening, Phil. How are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, yeah. Consisting of two attempts to knock down all the pins, what name is given to a player's turn in 10-pin bowling?
It is called a frame.
A frame, correct. Yes, a frame. That's exactly right. Are you a bowler yourself, Josh?
Used to be when I was younger, but too old now. So
it's quite good fun, really. Looks think it's going to be a lot easier than it is, actually.
Yeah, last time I played, I took my young fella there, and he got pretty frustrated when he wasn't getting a strike every turn. But that's how it usually goes with kids, eh?
Well, especially when the ball goes in the gutter half the time. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dad, what's going on here?
Yeah. Exactly.
Question number 14, last one in ball sports, if you like. Otherwise, you can move.
Let's stick with ball sports, please.
What's the? I'll give you this. I'll give it this to you, plus or minus. All right.
Okay.
What's the regulation diameter of a golf hole? I'll give it to you, plus or minus 1 centimeter.
Oh, okay. We're at 1 centimeter. That helps. let's see. Regulation. Okay.
The regulation diameter of a golf hole. I mean the actual, the cup that the ball goes in.
Yeah. Gotcha.
The hole as in a par four or something.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yep. All right. So let's see. I'm a mad golfer too. I should probably know this.
Oh, really? You should know. Should, Josh. Yeah.
So golf ball diameter would be roughly about 5. Add a couple onto that. I'm going to say 11 centimeters.
Correct. Exactly right. Correct.
Is it really? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I figured like the diameter of a golf ball, like trying to hold it in my imaginary hand. Like, how big is a golf ball? A little bit bigger than that.
Yeah. It's four. It's 4 1/4 inches. 4 1/4 inches, which is 11 centimeters. is the regulation diameter of a golf hole. All right.
I will not forget that next time I go play.
It's sort of a fact which you don't really need to know, do you, Josh?
Yeah, that's true. I have enough trouble getting it into the 11-centimetre hole, let alone anywhere else. So, correct.
I quite like the hole to be 15 or 20 centimetres sometimes. Question 15. Yeah. We've got climbing Harrison. Happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Sam Neill, what do you want to do?
Climbing, did you?
Climbing? Happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Sam Neill.
Yeah, okay. Let's go. How about happy birthday, Harrison Ford?
Happy birthday, Harrison Ford. What's the name of Han Solo's beloved spaceship?
I have a confession to make. I have never seen Star Wars.
No, it's not a confession, Josh. We have done this before in the program. In fact, people who've never seen any Star Wars film ever. And you know what? There's a surprisingly large number, Josh, so don't feel worried about it. It's a bit like who's never seen a Harry Potter film? Answer, quite a large number of people.
Yeah, I only saw the first Harry Potter movie, the very first one, like maybe a year ago, and people lost their minds when I told them that. But yeah, then I keep the Star Wars cool thing quiet.
Do not feel as though you're the only one. You are not.
No, excellent. All right. Okay, so I'll see if I can try and pull something.
What's the name of Han Solo's beloved spaceship?
Han Solo's spaceship. Okay. All right. So it's no Death Star. No, that's not it. Gee whiz. The only word that is popping in my head is Nebuchadnezzar, but I know that's not right.
No, that's not going to work. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Bill.
Happy golfing. Hit them straight. All right, see ya.
I'll do my best. Bye. Thanks, mate.
See ya. 1-300-800-222. Phil's on the road. G'day, Phil.
Good evening.
Good evening. What's the name of Han
Solo? Good morning.
Actually, it is too. What's the name of Han Solo's beloved spaceship?
It's been years since I've seen the movies, but the name that comes to mind for that one is the Millennium Falcon.
Correct, it is. It's the Millennium Falcon.
Han Solo.
Yep.
I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man. What's the cargo?
Only passengers. Myself, the boy, two droids, and no questions asked.
Classic, absolute classic. Question 16, happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Staying here or are we moving?
I'll stick with Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford received his only Oscar nomination for which 1985 crime film?
Oh, you've got me on that. I can picture it, but, yep, can't think of the name of it.
No worries, Phil, thank you.
No worries.
See you later. Bye-bye. Nicole from Flinders Park. Hello. Hi, Nicole.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good. Happy birthday, Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford received his only Oscar nomination for which 1985 crime film?
I've managed to conjure up the Millennium Falcon, but crime film. Witness?
Correct. It was. It was Witness.
Hey, man.
They didn't know there was a witness.
Carter didn't tell me about the eyewitness.
Yeah, Amish kid, 8 years old.
A man of force.
I'm a police officer, ma'am. I have to talk to the boy.
A woman of faith.
You don't understand. We have nothing to do with your laws.
Yes, I do. Your son's a material witness to a homicide.
Worlds apart.
Now you have a witness.
Yeah, now I got a witness.
Witness.
Yes, it was a good movie, Witness, too.
It was. Good.
Question number 17. We're in Happy Birthday Harrison Ford, or we can move to Sam Neill, or climbing.
I think we'll stay here. I'm not confident of anything, but...
Happy Birthday Harrison Ford. Ironically, a Peruvian species of which reptile was named after Harrison Ford in 2023?
Is it a spider?
Not a spider, no. Not a spider, sorry. Greg from Devonport. G'day, Greg.
Yep, that's my nickname.
That's you, yeah. Ironically, a Peruvian species of which reptile was named after Harrison Ford in 2023?
Named after him. The handsome lizard.
No, no, it's not a lizard. Thanks, Greg. No, it's not a lizard. Tom from Geelong. G'day, Tom.
G'day, Philip. How you going?
Pretty good. Ironically, a Peruvian species of which reptile was named after Harrison Ford in 2023?
I've got no idea. I'll just say a snake.
Correct. Yes. Oh. A snake, the famous snake scene.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. You go first. All right, Tom, question number 18. Staying with Harrison Ford?
Yes, thanks.
Harrison Ford played Colonel G. Lucas in which Vietnam War movie?
Don't think I'm guessing this one. Thanks, Phil.
Well, no worries. Thank you. All righty. Kylie from Daysdale. Hello, Kylie.
Hello.
A little bird tells me it was your birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was my birthday. I was 69. Also, Richard Miles, the deputy PM, he was 59.
Kylie, you're going to have this birthday for many years, you know.
I know. I'm 19. I'm 20 again next year. Thank you. I was out at Penrith at a local club out there today. Yesterday, and the big building they're building up there, the big stadium, is just beautiful. I went past. And I thought, oh, that's going to look stunning. This
very place. Good. Oh, well, happy birthday. Well, happy birthday, Kylie.
Just before I go, Richard Glover has well. So there's a number of us having birthdays. So
there you go. All right. Terrific.
Yep. No worries.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. See you, Kylie. Right. Bye-bye. Gotcha. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Ian from Dover in Tassie. G'day, Ian.
Good morning, Phil.
Morning. We're in Happy Birthday Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford played Colonel G. Lucas in which Vietnam War movie?
Apocalypse Now?
Correct, yes.
You've heard of Colonel Walter E. Kurtz? Your mission is to terminate the Colonel's command.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
My only friend, the air.
What a movie, eh? Apocalypse Now. Ian?
I saw it once. I don't think I want to see it again.
No. Well, fair enough, too. We're up to question 19. Happy birthday, Harrison. For one left here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Last one in Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren played Jacob and Cara Dutton in the series 1923, a prequel to which Western TV show?
Yes. This throws up absolutely no memories whatsoever. Western TV show. I've got no idea. The Winchester Mysteries.
I like that. There should be a show called that. No,
oh, that'd be great. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Ian. Bye-bye. I appreciate it. Troy from Wembley. Hi, Troy.
Hi, mate. How are you?
Very well. Question 19 we're up to. Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren played Jacob and Cara Dutton in the series 1923, a prequel to which Western TV show?
1923, a prequel to a Western. They were spaghetti Westerns, weren't they, back then?
No, Western TV show. We're after it. TV
Western
show.
Western TV show. Oh, no, I can't help you.
No
Phil.
Good. Okie doke. Thank you anyway. Gary from Tinanara. G'day, Gary.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Pretty well. Pretty well. What do you reckon? Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren played Jacob and Cara Dutton in the series 1923, a prequel to which Western TV show?
I've got no idea, but I'll go for Rawhide.
No, not Rawhide. Sorry, no, not Rawhide. Cameron from South Perth. G'day, Cameron.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah.
What are we after here?
A Little House on the Prairie.
Not Little House on the Prairie, Cameron, but thank you. Joe from Ridgehaven. Hi, Joe.
Hello. Would it be the Waltons?
Not the Waltons. No, not the Waltons. Jim in Campbelltown's got it. Deb from Hobart's got it. Lynn the Queenslander's got it. Harry in the Bay. Yes, correct. Milo in the Blue Mountains. Correct. What about Richard from Myrtleford? G'day, Richard.
G'day.
Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren played Jacob and Cara Dutton in the series 1923, a prequel to which Western TV show?
I thought it was all about Yellowstone.
Correct. Yes, exactly. It was. Yellowstone was the one we were after. Nice work. Okay. Well, that's it for Harrison Ford. We've got one left in Sam Neill and five left in climbing. Six questions left.
Yeah, let's go Sam Neill. I listened to his life story on an audio book a while ago. Very interesting man.
He was, yeah.
Hey, lived a full life.
He did live a full life. Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what, Richard, we've got a news bulletin coming up. I'd like to give you some thinking time anyway. I'll pose this question to you after the news, okay?
The Mighty Challenge.
Richard from Myrtleford was up on deck. We were up to question number 20. Last one in Sam Neill. Richard, welcome back.
Thank you.
Which wizard did Sam Neill play in a 1998 miniseries and its 2006 sequel?
Wizard.
Which wizard?
No, you got me on that one.
No good. Okie doke. No worries. Thank you anyway. Wayne from Mildura says, by the way, Phil, I've just woken up. Not sure if you've mentioned old school, an irreverent look at a straight fellow, Sam Neill, and a jailbird, Brian Brown. Tremendous laugh. Yeah, no, that's true. He played all sorts. He played so many characters. Darby from Chinchilla. Hi, Darby.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Pretty good. Sam Neill, which wizard did Sam Neill play in a 1998 miniseries and its 2006 sequel?
Oh, I don't really know, but I'll have to have a stab at everyone's. Oh, Merlin.
Merlin, correct. Yes, everyone's favourite wizard. That's right. How many wizards do we know? All righty, that's it for Sam Neill. All right, we've got five questions left. They're all in a category which no one's wanted to go for. It's called climbing. All right.
Righty, mate. Let's have a crack at it.
At which Olympics did climbing make its debut?
Year or place or?
Oh, whatever.
We'll go 82.
No, nowhere near it. Sorry, nowhere near it. Deacon from Mount Lawley. We've got lines 3-2, by the way. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Deacon, g'day.
G'day, Phil.
Hi. We're in climbing. This hasn't been a popular category. At which Olympics did climbing make its debut?
Can I just say, the categories and questions have been a dog's breakfast for me, but I suggest metal engineering and protective coatings. But anyway,
it wasn't that long ago, obviously, was it? At which Olympics did climbing make its debut?
How about Sydney 2000?
No, not Sydney 2000. Well after that. Well after that. George from Melville and WA. We've got lines free. Grab one. 1-300-800-222. Hi, George.
Hi, Phil. I went dancing tonight.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, good. Excellent. What did you dance? Pride of Erin?
The Waltz.
And the Waltz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rumba.
The Rumba?
Yep. It's a lesson, we're learning how to dance.
Did you dance the tango, George?
Not yet. We haven't done that one.
That's a hard one, the tango, I think, yeah.
It is.
Question 21, at which Olympics did climbing make its debut?
Climbing?
Hmm. We've got five questions left here. Go on.
2000?
No, we've had 2000. It's right. Much later than that.
Much later.
Hmm.
2012.
Not 2012. Thanks, George. Not 2012. Who knows the answer to this? 1-300-800-222. We're up to question number 21. You could win from here. There are five questions left, and they're all in climbing. At which Olympics did climbing make its debut? Mm-hmm. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Kerry from Kangaroo Point. Hello, Kerry.
Yeah, hello, Phil. I'm very disappointed you didn't include Blade Runner in your Harrison Ford questions.
Oh, well, I know. I don't. Well, my favourite movie too, Kerry.
Phil, it's my all-time favourite film.
Same here. I've seen it.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful, Phil. So clever. Anyway, I won't waffle on. I'd say it's Tokyo, I think.
Correct, it is, yes. It was Tokyo 2020 that climbing made its debut. Very good. All right, Kerry, question 22, four left here. On the 23rd of May 1956, all right, Swiss climber Ernst Schmidt became the third man to climb which mountain?
Everest, I would
correct.
Think.
Yes, Mount Everest. Yeah,
52, 53 was Hillary intensive. Was it 53, I think?
On the 20th. That's right. So in 1956, yes, it would have been Mount Everest.
Yeah, I knew, that's what gave me the clue was the fact that the Hillary intensive was early 50s. So.
Yeah. In January this year, American man Alex Honnold climbed to the top of a 101-story building without any ropes or safety gear. In which country?
I'm only having a wild guess here. Was that a tall building in the Middle East? Dubai.
No, I know the one you're thinking of. You're the
I didn't really know.
The Burj. No, it's not that one. No.
Not that one. Anyway, sorry. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Kerry. Bye-bye. Not that one. No, Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. In January this year, American man Alex Honnold climbed to the top of a 101-story building without ropes or safety gear. In which country?
America.
No, it wasn't America. Sorry, no, it wasn't America. Dave from Kensington Gardens. G'day, Dave. Hello. Where was the 101 story building?
Taipei 101. This building, I believe.
Sorry, what was it?
Taipei.
Yes, correct. Yes, it was. And so, which country was it?
Taipei.
No. Hang on. Which country was it? Sorry, Dave. No, I've got to be harsh about this. Samantha from Ngunnawal. G'day, Samantha.
Hi. Yep. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Cool.
Alex Honnold climbed to the top of a 101-story building without ropes or safety gear in which country?
I'm pretty sure that was in Taiwan, wasn't
correct.
It?
Correct, yes.
Taipei skyscraper?
Yes, the 101 Taipei building in Taiwan. Correct. All right, cool. Two left. Question 24. Celebrating the 200th anniversary of its ascent in 1986, ex-climber Pope John Paul II blessed which European peak?
European peak?
Yeah, celebrating the 200th anniversary of its first ascent in 1986. Oh, sorry. He was celebrating the 200th anniversary of its ascent in
1986. Oh. Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. That's all right. If you got nothing, that's fine. Ian from Wollumbah. G'day. Hi, Ian.
Hello. Is that me?
Yeah, that's you. Which European peak would Pope John Paul II have blessed?
Was it the Matterhorn?
Not the Matterhorn, no. That's a beautiful peak. That's a beautiful peak, but it's not the Matterhorn. No. Anna from Lower Snug. Hello, Anna again. Hello.
Oh, damn it. I was going to say, I know absolutely no mountains in Europe whatsoever.
Oh, I reckon you know this one.
Famous last words. I can't really use Italian or Argentinian. I'm like, what the heck was he climbing? And as I say, I am blessed to have relatives who are blessed to have decent enough knees to have been climbing all over Switzerland and Italy and France. And can I remember the name of any mountains in Europe whatsoever? No.
No. Oh, well,
Ben Nevis?
No. That's in Scotland. Yeah, that's true. No, thanks, Anna. It wasn't that one. No, it wasn't that one. Liz from Canipa Point. G'day, Liz.
Hi, Phil. I don't know.
No good? Okay. Oh, dear. Jim from Seaford. G'day, Jim.
Good morning, Phil.
Which mountain would it have been?
I don't really have much of an idea, but I'll have a stab. Mont Blanc?
Correct, yes. Oh. Europe's highest mountain, Mont Blanc.
That's the only one I know.
He, ex-climber John Paul II, I don't know whether he climbed it or not, maybe he did. Pretty hair-raising thing to climb, actually, I think.
Wow.
Hey, we've got one left.
Oh, no. I've been here twice before, Phil.
Well. Jim. Yes. In an attempt to turn it into Australia's highest peak, it's a climbing tradition to place a rock at the summit of which New South Wales mountain? In an attempt to turn it into Australia's highest peak.
Oh. So obviously it's not Kosciuszko.
It's not Kosciuszko, no.
Oh, mountains in New South Wales. I've got no idea. No idea. I'm not having a
good try. No worries. Thanks. This could be a little, I don't know, is it a little tough? Does anyone know the answer? 1-300-800-222. Give us a call. Put us out of our misery. Kane from Carlton. G'day, Kane.
G'day, Philip. How are you?
Pretty good. This is a real climber's question, this one. In an attempt to turn it into Australia's highest peak, it's a climbing tradition to place a rock at the summit of which New South Wales mountain?
No, I'm drawing a blank as well. I was just thinking of, the Blue Mountains, but no.
That's lots of mountains in the Blue Mountains.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing's coming. Take care.
No worries. See you, Kane. Bye-bye. No, Maria, it's not Mount Disappointment. No one on the text line has got it yet. Come on, help us out here. Ray from Yeranga. G'day, Ray.
Look, I think it might be Mount Townsend.
Mount Townsend, correct. Very good, Ray, yes. But the climbers hope if they put enough rocks on the top, it'll become the tallest mountain in Australia.
Yeah, the only one close enough.
It's the only one. Is it the second one? I think it's the second highest.
Yeah. They thought it was higher at one stage.
They did.
They looked at it from Victoria.
Yeah, they did. They did. It wasn't until it was properly measured. I mean, they're hardly spectacular spectacular peaks, particularly the highest one, Mount Kosciuszko, which when you walk up there, you think, oh, that's a great achievement. But then you walk over to the back of the, and you see there's a road up to the top.
Then you can drive up there.
You can. Well, you can't, but, I mean, there is a road up. You could if you're allowed on the road, but I don't think you're allowed on the road.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I remember going up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Long exactly. Time ago, no, but it's Mount Townsend, which is the second highest peak. All right, very good. All right, Ray, put you on hold. We'll get these details. We'll get your details and get the magnet out to you. Harry in the Bay had Mount Townsend. Yes, Jim in Campbelltown got it. Annette got it. Yes, but not too many. Not too many others had Mount Townsend. Nice work, everyone.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.